This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We were expecting a call from Dr. David Chow to talk about the injury to Xavier Worthy. But we got a special call, not anticipating this. Hopefully this call comes with an apology because this person was very disrespectful to me over the weekend for seemingly no reason. I'm at the game, just trying to finish up our documentary. You know, the end of the doc is that the rivalry is back and we should be happy and we should be excited. And all of a sudden I get on my phone just to see what was going on. And I get a tweet from none other than Danny Parkins of Fox Sports 1. I get a text from him. Oh, ha, ha, ha. Look, Missouri's down 21-6. And then I didn't hear from him again. Parkins, do you have a score update for me? Because you had a lot to say when Missouri was down, and I haven't heard from you since then.
Well, I haven't heard from you since you said that Justin Herbert's the 17th best quarterback in the NFL. I'm not here to talk about college football.
Oh, here we go.
I'm here to talk about pro football. And here's the thing. I'm a Chiefs guy. My mom's family from Kansas City. I grew up going to Arrowhead. Steph, my wife's family from KC. I was in KC for the Alex Smith years, the Romeo Crennel years, the Arrowhead anxiety years, the Scott Pioli years.
Then you left and it got
Haley
better.
Years. Yeah, and then I left and it got better. So this is not me being a Chiefs hater. I have two objectives for making this phone call. One, to get you to admit that I was right and you were wrong about Justin Herbert.
Are you ready to apologize about Missouri and about the tweet you sent?
I was wrong about Missouri.
Okay. All right. Wrong. As long as you're willing to admit that, then we can move forward in this conversation. He played well in a week one game in early September. Justin Herbert played very well.
He was amazing.
He played very well in a week one game in September.
Okay. He had over 300 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions, and beat the Chiefs. So he was very, very good. And yes, you are objectively correct that it is not the playoffs. That is true. I can't dispute that. It is September. I checked my calendar. I got the same thing. But I just wanted to be sure that we were on the same page with Justin Herbert. And then I wanted to let the fine audience of The Drive know that used to be our audience that, and I'm not sure if people have heard this yet, but we are bringing First Things First to Kansas City on Friday. Were you aware of this?
I was aware of it, actually. Very excited. I was planning on having you come on later in the week, but so when Rob told me that you had called, I thought that this was about to apologize about Mizzou, not to talk about other nonsense.
No. Listen, I'm going to call in every day this week.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't name one player on Mizzou or Kansas. Okay, I don't care about college football. That is the completely ridiculous game. I just had fun trolling you on Twitter, and then I was going to drop the plug for the FS1 show. But people should know, if you come to PNL, 2-5 Central, Kansas City's favorite son, Nick Wright, I'll be back in town. Kevin Wilds, Greg Jennings, Chris Broussard, we're going to be there. There's going to be, you know, Knicks buying beers for people. You know, we're going to have guests and surprises and activities and giveaways. So we want to pack P&L just like it's the world, like a World Cup game. You don't think that's too ambitious of an ask, do you?
I actually don't think you're aiming high enough. I think you're going to get more people than that.
More people than the world. So, like, if like the World Cup and the Big 12 tournament had a baby, that would be like first things first, live audience at P&L on Friday.
100%.
That's what I'm looking for. That's exactly what I'm looking for. So yeah, we're going to be there. And but seriously, like, Nick is Kansas City's favorite son, right? The mayor was the officiant at Nick's wedding, right? I know that Nick is going to out selfie request me, maybe 20-1. But I am sensitive. And so I want to hear some park what's goods from the crowd. I want to hear some I mean reallys. I want to hear some, you know, stories of Carrington's failures and, you know, hanging up on Jason Locke and Fora and showing Joe Buck the cartoon of him at the urinal next to Madison Bumgarner. Like, some classic drive with Park and C-Dot moments. I want some of those fans out there, you know, making sure that I don't, like, that my 7 years in Kansas City meant something too. And it's not just the Nick Wright show. Nick will get his love and his adoration. I just need a little bit from this audience. Is that
enough
to ask?
Danny, you know what? We will carve out time every day this week to make sure that people come out and give you the love that you need at Power and Light. Tell people one more time where they need to be, what they need to do. Because, Danny, I'm here to support you. Me and you are still a team.
Yeah, no, I know. And we're a better team than both Missouri and Kansas football.
Okay, all right. See, Danny, see, that's what I mean. See, every time I give you a little opening, you don't got to come on here.
You and I are a better team. Why are you talking college football the day after the Chiefs lost to the Chargers anyway? No one cares.
I care.
Pro sports. what was I saying? Oh, yeah. P&L Friday, 2 to 5. First things first, we're going to be there. And, of course, Fox is doing the pregame show ahead of Chiefs and Eagles from there. It's going to be a big scene. But want everyone to come out. And listen, Carrington, I have the hotline number. So I'm going to call in whether you invite me or not. I'm coming on every day this week to let the Drive audience know that First Things First is coming to Kansas City on Friday.
We look forward to it. Danny Parkins of Fox Sports 1 joining us on the show. Ooh, who knows when he will be on the show tomorrow. Park, we appreciate you.
Anytime, man.
Absolutely. That is Danny Parkins joining us on the show today. Highly encourage you guys to stop by P&L on Friday from 2 to 5. Danny and Nick are going to be doing their show from FS1 coming up in a couple of days. We are looking to get Dr. David Chow to join us on the show to learn a little bit more about Xavier Worthy and the injury that he had in Friday's game. Dr. Chow, man, appreciate your patience. Thanks a lot for popping on today.
Oh, no worries. It's just one of those Mondays, man. Patience and obviously crazy football stuff, but I'm always happy to chat with you guys.
So let's just start with this. For people who have heard the news about Xavier Worthy, can you explain what happened?
Yeah, and I have to apologize to Chiefs fans. I did see it happen, but I didn't have bandwidth. I was actually at Petco Park with my family watching the Savannah Bananas, and I saw the Xavier Worthy dislocation, but I couldn't really tweet on it or talk about it because of lack of bandwidth. His shoulder dislocated, which meant it came out of the socket, and what Andy Reid said has been what our staff has been saying for a while now. Dislocated shoulder comes with a labral tear that does need surgery. But that surgery can wait till end of the season. And with some rehab and treatment and returning to play with a brace or harness, one can finish the season before having that surgery. And I think that's kind of the plan for Xavier Worthy right now.
They have talked about this being a day-to-day, week-by-week injury. Is it realistic to think that he could play on Sunday against the Eagles, or are we talking about him maybe being out 2 to 4 weeks and then he can return back to the offense?
I think your second estimate of 2 to 4 weeks is probably better. I hope closer to 2-3 rather than 4. I'm hopeful that he can avoid injured reserve. Even if he were on injured reserve, it would be short term and he would be activated again. But this Sunday, week 2, is a little bit ambitious.
Right now, we're talking to Dr. David Chow, trying to learn a little bit more about the injury to Xavier Worthy. This seems to be a tone from people like yourself. Why are you so confident that he's going to be able to avoid surgery and this can heal a little bit more naturally?
Well, let's be careful what I'm saying. First of all, obviously, I have not examined Xavier Worthy. I do this off of video injury analysis, as you've known I've done for a while. I do this from the eyes of a former head team physician in the NFL, in the AFC West, by the way, obviously, San Diego Chargers. And I do think that the Chiefs have excellent medical staff led by Rick Burkhalter, et cetera, and they will take good care of him. It is not something that will heal completely without surgery. That's why we're talking about off-season surgery, but it can be functional enough to play through a season with a brace. It may affect his catch radius a little bit, but it certainly isn't going to affect his speed or downfield cutting and his ability to catch the ball. And that's why I'm optimistic that the option of finishing the season first is on the table for him.
How do you make him comfortable enough in his ability? You mentioned possibly limited range of mobility. How do you get it to where he feels comfortable enough to do Xavier Worthy things? And also, I mean, he plays football. He's going to have to be tackled onto that shoulder, confident in its ability to hold up and withstand being tackled 10, 15 times in a game.
Yeah, no question. Well, look, if he's tackled 10, 15 times in a game, that's great news for the Chiefs, right? I mean, that's a good number of receptions. But he's also got to block. He's got to play the game of football. And the way that labral tears work is that your shoulder is vulnerable in certain positions. And because of the strap, it can keep you out of the positions. Of course, right now, you got to get rid of the pain and swelling. You got to have normal range of motion and strength, which he is not close to yet, which is why I think week two is optimistic, but hopefully, potentially possible to return week three, four, certainly before week five would be the hope for Xavier Worthy.
That is Dr. David Chow joining us on the show. Follow him on Twitter at ProFootballDoc for the latest on Xavier Worthy, as it sounds like he has dislocated his shoulder. We'll continue to wait for more news that we get officially from the team, but just wanted to get Dr. Chow's opinion as someone who has worked on these kinds of injuries. Dr. Chow, always appreciate your flexibility. Thanks a lot for popping on today.
I got a question for you, if you don't mind. I did a lot of opining on Josh Simmons, your left tackle, before the draft and after the draft. How do you think he played? How do you think he looked in week one?
I thought he played well. I thought he held up very, very well. It's kind of funny. I don't know if you didn't know that he had the serious injury that he is, I don't know if you would be able to notice.
Well, look, he's a rookie. He's got a lot to learn in the league. But even before the draft, when a lot of draft picks were panning him because of the patella tendon rupture, I thought the Chiefs got a steal where they drafted him, because he would have been a lot higher if not for the patella tendon rupture. But the fact that it was his left patella tendon and the timing on it, and with the more need for the powerful inside leg to kick out, I thought he would do well and be ready to go for the start of the season for you guys. And left tackle was obviously a need, and I was optimistic that this would be a great selection for you guys.
That is Dr. David Chow joining us on the show today. Dr. Chow, you know, it's one of those things I look forward to talking to you, but I also don't look forward to talking to you. It's usually not good when we have these conversations.
Well, it's good on Josh Simmons, right? I mean, I was given good news there. Give me
Absolutely. That is Dr. Chow joining us on the show. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
That is Dr. David Chow joining us on the show today. Appreciate what he had to say about Xavier Worthy. Coming up on the other side, let's get back to the Chiefs defense. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to read a couple of texts. CDOT, I knew it would be Panic City today. We won't find out who teams really are until about weeks four or five, since so many starters don't play the preseason. I'm tired of small receiver versus big receiver. Guys like A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf, among others, miss games every year due to injury. Well, they play football. No one is expecting every single player in the NFL to stay healthy for a full 17-week season. So some of that, big or small, no matter who it is, if your job is to run into other human beings repeatedly and be tackled to the ground, sometimes guys get hurt. My point about the big receiver, small receiver is some of it is just, man, the last two seasons, the Chiefs have invested and kind of partially built their offense around a 5'11", 165-pound wide receiver. Two guys who have almost essentially had the same type of injury. Now, Hollywood's injury was more severe than what Xavier Worthy's injury is. But if you got these small pieces and they fall, sometimes they break. I don't think it's a big deal. I'm not saying you shouldn't have drafted Xavier Worthy. Like, football is going to happen. Guys are going to get injured on a game-in, game-out basis. My larger point, more than anything, is kind of knowing that you have those kind of pieces, you got to kind of prepare that injuries are going to happen. You got to prepare for, well, we know we're not going to have Rashee Rice for an unknown period of time. We kind of got these pieces. Well, in case something goes wrong, why not be prepared? You're prepared on the offensive line if something goes wrong. That's why you went out and invested in Jalen Moore, or that's why you spent the first round pick on Josh Simmons. So if an injury happens, if something happens, you can very easily kind of mix and match pieces and keep going. The thing that I was kind of saying this offseason is, hey, well, look at their running back room. Now's kind of the time to think ahead and prepare yourself. Someone also texted in, text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, I apologize to you. You are absolutely right about the running back room. Hunt is serviceable, and I was completely wrong. I'm not here really looking for a lot of I told you so's. Some of these things, I'm just simply looking at the numbers and what they do. And I think with Kareem Hunt, I think what happened with a lot of people was the Chiefs were kind of in a bind. And Kareem Hunt kind of saved them during that bind. They lost Isaiah Pacheco. They didn't really have any other place to turn. You then went out and got Kareem Hunt, and he was pretty good for a month stretch. If you really go back and look at those numbers, he averaged 24 carries and 86 yards during that time. Since then, he's just been a change of pace third down back, and that's perfectly fine for what his role is. I don't really have much issues with Kareem Hunt and what they're asking him to do. I just think we know what he is. And my big point this offseason was, a lot of you want the Chiefs to kind of get back to that explosiveness and those big plays. Those big plays come from explosive players. Sometimes you can only scheme so much. I know some of you guys hate my basketball analogies, but I think it fits here. Your coach can only draw up so much. At some point, you need a guy who can go get a bucket. You need a guy with 8 seconds on the shot clock, can get past his man, and get an easy shot. Right now, the Chiefs just have too many players in which their best chance is for you to scheme them completely wide open. Travis Kelce, the touchdown that he caught, that's just great play design and great execution. We move him, he's in motion, he's wide open, he catches it, he scores a touchdown. The old Travis Kelce used to be able to create separation. The old Travis Kelce used to be able to use his speed and athleticism to get open. He had 2 catches in this game. This is a game in which you really needed Travis Kelce. You don't have anybody else. You're not counting on Juju. You're not counting on Tyquan Thornton. You got a Hall of Fame tight end in his last year. We were told all offseason, best shape of his career, refocused, all of those things. You needed him to be a centerpiece of what you have offensively. He's 35 years old. I'm not here to make excuses for the Chiefs, but right now in the Chiefs offense, they don't have a lot of players that you would consider to be in their prime and or explosive. They got a lot of guys who used to be really good. Hollywood used to be a very good wide receiver. I don't think he's that anymore. What is he? I don't think we know yet. Juju was that guy a couple of years ago. I just don't think that's who Juju is right now. I don't think that's who Travis Kelce is. I think maybe Isaiah Pacheco isn't that guy. At least he's off to a slow start in this game. Didn't really get a lot of opportunities and was kind of bad in the second half of last season. So I'm not here to tell you that the Chiefs are going, they're going to win 7 games. They're not going to win any of that. But what I'm telling you is over the next 4 or 5 weeks until they get Rashee Rice back and until they can get Xavier Worthy back and they can just get more explosiveness and more guys who can change the complexion of the game, man, their offense is going to look kind of how it looked on Friday. They just don't have dogs. They don't have a lot of guys in their offense that can win one-on-one matchups consistently. And this is a team that either can't run it successfully, doesn't want to run it successfully, and this is a team that has no explosion in their pass game. There's not a single player right now in the Chiefs offense that when the Eagles have their first defensive meeting, you write that guy's number on the board and you say, we got to figure out a way to stop him. That's what 8-7 used to be. That's what Tyreek used to be. Hey, we got to figure out a way to stop him. We cannot let him get behind our safeties. If we do, it's curtains. It's night-night. You don't have anybody like that in your offense. And when you go up against certain teams with defenses who can get after the quarterback and can be really physical, it's just going to be a grind to score, kind of like it was on Friday.
I don't want to be a Chiefs apologist or come off like a Chiefs apologist here. I think that guy, that dog, the person you're talking about, the guy they thought would be the, hey, the opposing defense writes his number on the board and says, watch out for him, he can change the game, was supposed to be Xavier Worthy. Now, I'm with you. You had a whole offseason of telling me you're going to be more explosive, and your offense, after one player got hurt, went from we're going to be explosive to we're going to be Alex Smithian is unacceptable. But I think the guy you're describing is the guy that got hurt on 3 plays. I don't even know. It might have not even been 3 plays. He ran a crossing route. Travis Kelce tackled him, and then the explosion disappeared. Like, I'm not letting the Chiefs off the hook with the another year of, well, they don't have any dogs. They had one. He got hurt. That's football. They have another one. He's suspended. That's his own fault. No one else's. Like, the offense is going to be a slog for a while, but I worry that even when those guys get back from suspension injury, the offense is going to continue to look like this. I don't think it's a weapons problem anymore. I think there is something larger at play because this is now, we're going into a third season of Patrick Mahomes looking like Alex Smith. I looked at the numbers. He had, after his MVP season of 41 touchdowns, he had 27 and 26 in back-to-back years. That's blah. And I don't see him being a 45 touchdown guy this year. He definitely has the talent to be. He was making plays on Friday.
I thought he was great for the most part.
But the stats are not going to say that's an MVP at the end of the season. And it's not because of a suspension and an injury to Worthy you're going to have in their offseason of, oh, well, see if this X, Y, and Z happened. No, something has to change because the offense should not look like the offense that we saw in 2014. This should not look like Jamal Charles with Jason Avant and Alex Smith. It just shouldn't. Even if the offense is lacking dogs, to quote you, they should look better than, hey, we're throwing to aging Jeremy Maclin. They just should, and they don't right now.
somebody asked a question, what percentage of the weapons do you think are just where they select in the NFL draft? I mean, that's obviously some of it. I mean, you drafted Xavier Worthy. He was a very explosive player. You drafted Rashee Rice. Those guys just haven't been healthy. I think some of it also is if you know that you're going to pick late in the draft, some of it just has to be in free agency. I mean, in free agency, skill position wise, they picked up, they brought back Juju Smith-Schuster. They brought back Hollywood Brown. They did nothing in the running back room. That has nothing to do with you picking 32. You didn't really try a whole lot this offseason to kind of get some of those pieces. I will continue to disagree with you guys when it comes to Matt Nagy. At the text line right now, CDOT, you won't call it for what it is. Nagy is the problem. His play calling is dull. We're just on different sides of this argument, and that's fine. Eric Bieniemy had prime Travis Kelce and prime Tyreek Hill and a healthier, more explosive version of Isaiah Pacheco than they have. That's just not who Matt Nagy has on offense. Tell me on Sunday who they're supposed to be drawing up these plays for. Just who? Like right now, going into this game, we all know Philadelphia. We can look ahead just a little bit. Who has a good day offensively for the Chiefs? Like if I ask you right now, I tell you somebody gets 100 yards from scrimmage. Who do you think that is? Is that Travis Kelce? Travis Kelce has one of those games. I guess he had the game in the postseason. He has two of those games in his last 25. Is it Hollywood Brown? Is it Juju Smith-Schuster? Like, who's the guy that you can rely on offensively that when it's 3rd and 7, you trust them to make a play? Or if you get a holding call because your right tackle was committing so many mental and physical errors, if it's 1st and 20, who do you trust on that offense to be able to get you out of that bind? So I understand that Matt Nagy's not the most popular person in town. I really do get it. I think some of that is just circumstances. You want me to make a 5-star meal? You ain't gave me 5-star ingredients. You haven't given me the pieces necessary to create this high dynamic, explosive offense. A lot of their offense on Friday was, Pat, please make something happen. Their biggest offensive play, Pat scrambling. I got to make a play. It's 4th down. I throw it down the field. Another 3rd down conversion. Hey, Pat, be special. I think that was a lot of their offense on Friday.
I see it more like the text line, because in 2022, the year that Patrick Mahomes was MVP, yes, he got a historic season from Travis Kelce. He also made Juju Smith-Schuster a lot of money. Juju Smith-Schuster was not the Juju Smith-Schuster of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was a near 900-yard guy. He got 600-plus yards out of MVS. MVS can't catch a cold when he's out in the rain. He can't do it. He made Kadarius Toney. He made people in town get excited about Kadarius Toney. That's Eric Bieniemy's offense with Patrick Mahomes. Now, if you want to say it's Andy Reid's offense, whatever. But an offense that had, and we'll put Kelce to the side, in 2022, Patrick Mahomes won MVP. And it was with Juju Smith-Schuster, MVS, Kadarius Toney, Isaiah Pacheco. It was a lot of the same cast, Sky Moore. It was a lot of the same cast of characters. He threw 41 touchdowns. This offense has more talent than that team did. Maybe not at the very top, but it does have more talent. And it should not be a 25-touchdown type of season from the person we call the best quarterback on earth. So I, at least, and we can differ on this, am open to it being Matt Nagy, because there seems to be direct correlation. Matt Nagy turns into offensive coordinator. Patrick Mahomes turns into Alex Smith. Like, the stats don't lie here.
No, I'm with you. And again, if I'm the only person that wants to say this, that's perfectly fine. It is a direct correlation to me from the decline of Patrick Mahomes that lines up with the decline of Travis Kelce. A direct 1-to-1. Each of the last 3 years, the numbers have got worse and worse as your number one pass catching option has also eroded. I think that Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the National Football League. I think he showed you that. I don't think that game is close if you swap out Patrick Mahomes with 15 other quarterbacks in the National Football League. I think that game was only close because Patrick was there. The one drive, the last scoring drive that they put together was Pat just saying, I'm the best player in the NFL. I'm going to show you. Whatever you need me to do. If you need me to be the best running back on this team, I'm going to do that. You need me to make a passing play, I'll do that. I think Pat just, I'm good enough to carry us here. But you need other options. Now, I will come to your side on this, because it is the one thing from the game that just it blows my mind. The most important play of the game. This is for all the marbles. Did they call a screenplay to Jason Brownlee?
Like, did I see that correctly? I rewatched the play 2 and 3 times. I'm not the only one that saw that, right? Are you telling me on the most important play of the game, they drew up a screenplay for Jason Brown? I don't care what Travis Kelce is doing in that scenario. Travis, we're figuring out a way to get you the ball here. Travis, we need you to make a play. That happened, right? I'm not making that up. I'm not misremembering how the game ended. Was their final offensive play a fade route in the back of the end zone on third down to Jason Brownlee? That's how the game ended for the Chiefs? It can't be how the game ended.
I was legit. There are no words. I know I'm supposed to talk here. Like, that's how radio works. Get up. I was slack-jawed. It just beyond confused. Jason Brownlee was a nice August story. He should not have been getting that target. And
he shouldn't be on the field. I'm sorry. He shouldn't be on the field. This is why in the offseason, when you guys want to have these wide receiver 4 and 5 conversations, I just don't have it in me to have these conversations. That's conversation we used to have back in 2010 about who the Chiefs' 6th wide receiver is. If they're in a position where they're relying on their 6th wide receiver, something has gone terribly wrong. Something went wrong on Friday. And now you're trying to get offense from anybody. Jason Brownlee should never be in a game of real consequence for the Chiefs. I'm sorry, that's not who he is at this stage in his career. Maybe he develops into that kind of player, but you're telling me with all the money on the line, with the chips in the middle of the table, Jason Brownlee should not be somebody receiving a target. Throw it to anybody else. I don't care who you throw it to. Throw it to Nico Remigio. Throw it to Breshard Smith. Jason Brownlee? You can't. It doesn't make any sense to me. Again, like, we're talking about guys here who Tyquan Thornton, I thought, played well. I think has a kind of low ceiling. He was not a good wide receiver for the New England Patriots. Maybe one of the only teams in the league that have been worse at wide receiver than the Chiefs the last handful of years. Jason Brownlee, he couldn't get on the field with the Jets. He couldn't get on the field. Before that target, he had 8 targets in his NFL career. Now we're throwing it to him on third down with the money on the line? Absolutely not. I don't know whose decision that was. I can't wait to ask Pat tomorrow. Hey, can you take me through this third down call? Jason Brownlee in the back of the end zone? Awful idea. One of the worst ideas they had on the game. A fade to Jason Brownlee in the back of the end zone. Someone said, but who else are they going to throw to, Carrington? Travis Kelce, Juju, Hollywood. If Jason Brownlee is the answer to your question, you lost. You lost. You lost. Whatever it is. If he is the answer of anything you're about to say, oh, well, what else? If Jason Brownlee is the answer, then they lost the game. They lost. You should never, ever be in an offensive position where you are reliant on what is already a low percentage play. We watch the NFL. How often are you throwing fade routes in the back of the end zone? That's probably a, what, 30, 40% completion play in the league? It's probably not a high percentage, right? 30, 40%. Usually when those plays get completed, we're throwing it to the elite guys in the league. Not your 51st man on the roster, a special teams guy. That's not who we're throwing the football to in that scenario. Absolutely not. He caught a preseason. No, he should not be getting targets. I don't want to belabor the point. No. If that's where you are, no. Stop.
I mean, this is no disrespect to Jason Brownlee. He's on an NFL roster. Congrats to him. He is a guy who's going to get cut the minute that Rashee Rice is off the suspension list. That's the guy he is.
He's the
cut candidate.
He's a borderline practice squad player.
Yes.
That's what he is. He's and that's no disrespect to him. He's a borderline practice squad player.
Which is great. That's in the 1% of football players. But games on the line in Brazil, and it's not Brownlee time. I don't know. We went to college. They weren't calling that play in college.
Yeah, there's not really a play you can run. Juwan Taylor's a massive problem for this team. A massive problem. He's their second highest paid player. A massive problem. It feels like once a season, the Chiefs have a game in which Juwan is such a problem and needs to kind of go to timeout. Like, we've seen this before. I'm not making this up, right? We've seen every season that Juwan Taylor has been here, he kind of gets the yips in some regards. It feels like it gets in his head. He gets an early false start. Now he's thinking about it. He gets an early hold, and the mistakes just compound. where up to the point, I mean, Travis Kelce goes up to him and is just clearly upset. Bro, you're a veteran. We're talking about a guy who's in, what, year seven, year eight of his career? Their offense is not good enough to overcome consistent negative plays. And that's what it was. You're already down a couple of guys. Now we're constantly in first and 15, first and 20 situations, or we get a seven-yard run on first down. Well, now it gets called back because there's a hold. Like, your offense was not in a place where you can overcome these constant mistakes that you were making. Juwan Taylor is, like, if we had to make a power rankings of why the Chiefs lost on Friday, Juwan Taylor is really, really high on the list. And we were expecting to be talking about the left side of the offensive line, talking about Josh Simmons, talking about Kingsley Suamataia. The fact that we are still having the same issues and the same conversations that we have been having with Juwan Taylor now for 3 years, I don't want to hear the announcers are picking on him or Chris Collinsworth mention this. No, the same penalties, the same physical and mental mistakes continue to happen with Juwan Taylor. And it felt like in some ways it kind of came to a head on Friday. I know that we've seen Kelce kind of blow up before on the sideline. I can't think of a time that I've seen him go up to another player, yell at them, and headbutt them on the field to essentially get them to wake up like he did. And nobody else on the team really seemed to react to it. The rest of the team kind of had the, I mean, it's, can't argue it. Everybody else just kind of had the, yeah, like, you got to get going. This is one of your veteran leaders, a guy who has played in and helped you win Super Bowls. Again, he's the highest paid player on the team, the second highest paid player on the team after Patrick Mahomes. He can't be the negative that he was on Friday against the Los Angeles Chargers. He had four penalties in the game. So basically, I mean, all the yardage that you got from Juju Smith-Schuster, who had 55 yards, Juwan Taylor erased all of those yards. He had more negative yards at right tackle than you had from your two running backs combined. You cannot have a player on your team that just negates offensive production the way that he did on Friday. Coming up at the top of the hour, Mitch Holtis will join us in studio. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I want to read a couple of texts. Mitch Holtis will be on the show coming up in just a bit. a couple of texts that I'm sure a lot of you feel this way. CDOT, I'm not a fan of Jawan Taylor, but if you rewatch the game, tell me how many times you think the Chargers right tackle jumps early, especially on the third down conversion. I just want consistency from the league. Someone else says, dude, why don't you never address the fact that every other good tackle in the league does what Jawan does and they don't call it? This, to me, has the energy of a kid who keeps getting in trouble, and he is pointing out, well, Billy keeps doing the same thing, but you're the one that keeps finding yourself in the principal's office. Yes, we've seen this before, right? We're pointing, oh, well, what about that right tackle? He moved a little bit early. Folks, we've been doing this with Jawan Taylor for quite some time. Over the last two seasons, Jawan Taylor has been called for 36 penalties. No other player in the National Football League has been called for 30 during that same time frame. He just got four on Friday. We're talking about 40 penalties from one player on your offensive line over the last two plus seasons. So we can play the, well, what about this guy? What about this guy? I mean, they're doing the same thing, yet they're not getting in trouble. There's one player in the NFL that seems that they seem to think is an egregious violator in all of this, and it's him. To the point where it was a problem on Friday. So you're right. I'm not here to make it seem like I don't see it. Sometimes other off, hey, why is that guy not in trouble? Why am I always here? I don't know. You keep finding yourself in the principal's office. We keep having the exact same conversations about you. This is not a new issue. This is not a one singular issue with Jawan Taylor. We keep having it when it comes to him and these games in which the penalties just keep mounting and mounting and mounting. My guy Jarvis sent me a tweet and said, CDOT, what better game than the first game of the year to find out what you have in Jason Brownlee? Do you suppose he gets targets in crucial games late in the season because of injury and suspension? Not sure that they have the luxury to wait. If you like Jason Brownlee, that's perfectly fine. I don't have any issues with you throwing it to Jason Brownlee in the first half. I mean, Patrick Mahomes threw it 38 times. He threw it 16 times to Hollywood Brown in the game. There's room to get other guys involved. You will never be able to sell to me how in the fourth quarter of a close ball game, Jason Brownlee gets his first target with 2 minutes and 41 seconds left, and it's third and goal from the Chargers' 9-yard line. You will never be able to sell to me why a fade route in that scenario to Jason Brownlee is the correct play. It's just, number one, it's a low percentage play, and then who you're throwing it to also makes it more of a low percentage play. There's a lot of things that maybe we disagree. Maybe you think I've been too harsh on the offense, not harsh enough on the defense. That's perfectly fine. And reasonable minds can disagree. There is not a single argument you can make to me to convince me that their final offensive play was a fade route to Jason Brownlee in the back of the end zone. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand. Not for an offense that has Travis Kelce on their team. Not for an offense that drafted Breshard Smith because he was a former wide receiver and can catch the ball out of the backfield. Not a team that clearly likes Hollywood Brown enough to give him 16 targets in the game. You're telling me the last pass play goes to Jason Brownlee? I'm sorry, I cannot see the other side of the argument on this. It is impossible for you to sell me on this. He got as many targets as Noah Gray did in this game. He got as many targets as Noah Gray. Hell, throw it to Robert Tonyan. Throw it to anybody. He might be your worst pass-catching option on the entire team. Why is he getting a target in that spot? This isn't me complaining about a 2nd and 9 in the second quarter that's like, all those things happen. This is go time. You're telling me that Patrick Mahomes broke the huddle and said, Jason, I'm coming your direction? That's an awful plan if that was the plan.
We don't need to rehash the Jason Brownlee thing. Let me ask you a question about Jawan Taylor, because you were first team all, he's playing because of his cost. He's playing because of his cost. You were firm. Hey, he makes too much money to watch the game from the bench. After his performance Friday, are you closing into becoming open to the idea of a swap at some point this season?
I mean, I've always been open to it, but I mean, I would say that doesn't really change the problem then. You either have $27 million that isn't helping you or $21 million that's not helping you, right? Like, this team took one swing in the offseason on offense. Now, I get it. They needed a left tackle. You didn't know how the draft was going to break. They had $21 million guaranteed inactive, essentially, for them. A break in case of emergency that happened. So one of the two options is, if you're going to go replace them with Jalen Moore, I'm not mad at that option. You now just have your second highest paid player just sitting on the bench that you don't feel confident enough in using. Like, neither one of the options, I would say, are good options if that's the direction that you are planning on going.
Because at this point, the money is the money, and I'm not going to argue with you on the 27 versus 21. But if he's going to hold and he's going to jump and have the false starts and all the illegal and he's going to be the most penalized player in the league, at a certain point, I don't care about who the next guy up is. It can't be worse. And Jalen Moore, we saw, at least was a viable tackle in the NFL for the Niners. At a certain point, I was willing to have the conversation in August. I think the Chiefs need to be open to the conversation at some point, because if your biggest offensive line problem is your right tackle, you cannot be adverse to switching the right tackle, especially when you have one ready-made sitting on the bench ready to go. You're right. It doesn't fix the April and March problems, but it does fix the illegal procedure problems, which at least those things that cleaned up the offense might be in a better spot.
Do you think the problem with the run game is Andy doesn't want to run, or Andy doesn't trust them to run the ball? Because they called 11 run plays.
Is the answer both? Because I don't think he has ever liked to run. We can look at we can do this for tomorrow's show. We can look up every year their run pass splits. He's pass first all the time. He's always pass first. But I also think it's worse this year because of the second thing. So it can be both in my mind.
Yeah, but to be fair, I mean, most teams in the league throw the ball more than they run it. But when you lose your number one offensive option, I think most people would consider Xavier Worthy going into the game their number one offensive option. I mean, they ran the ball. They called 11 run plays. Pacheco got 5 carries. Kareem got 5 carries. They gave 1 carry to Xavier Worthy early in the game, and that was it. That was it. Now, Pat had 6 runs, but we agree. They're not calling run plays for Mahomes. He just runs. Hey, nobody's open. I'm going to do it. He just runs. Is this they just refuse to run the ball, or they just don't trust their offensive line enough? I also push back on that is, I mean, at least in the Eagles' days, and I would say early with the Chiefs, it's not like he hasn't stayed with a running back. I mean, we're talking about a guy that had Deuce Staley, a guy that had Brian Westbrook. Like, we can go up and down the list of very productive Andy Reid running backs. In a game like this where you need explosive plays to come from somebody, I don't care where they come from in the offense. They come from the passing game, the running game. They're all yards. You didn't show nearly enough commitment to try to see if you could get anything from the run game. I mean, it wasn't great. You ran the ball from those 11 carries that you got. You ended up getting 41 yards from it. I know everybody's saying that you got 5 yards a pop from Isaiah Pacheco. I mean, you ran it 5 times. I mean, 5 yards a carry on the 5 carries. I'm just not as caught up on yards per attempt when you just didn't get nearly enough volume. They ran it 11 times in the game and got 41 yards. So they just ran it fine. They weren't great. They were just fine at running the football. But maybe you take some of the pressure off the passing game. Maybe you take some of the pressure off Patrick Mahomes, where he doesn't have to be Superman. If you just try to establish the run, where's the screen game? Where's the quick pass to try to get Isaiah Pacheco or Kareem Hunt in space and allow them to make moves? This offense can't be Patrick Mahomes drops back 39 times. And I mean, almost half of the pass attempts, he threw it 39 times. 16 of them went to Hollywood Brown. This was not an offense that really divvied it up. This was a Hollywood go win the game for us. I just don't think he's that kind of offensive player where he can go win you a game seemingly by himself. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.